Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a workplace community of remote workers, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. Gravitate provides all the space and amenities necessary so you can focus on your work, creativity, and growth. With locations in Des Moines and Valley Junction, learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In 1968, a group of African-American students at Luther College founded the Black Student Union. This year, Luther is marking the 50th anniversary of that founding with events throughout the year. And this week, they've invited Tiffany Patterson, Associate Professor of African-American and Diaspora Studies and History at Vanderbilt University, to give the spring convocation address on Thursday. From 1982 to 1984, she was chairperson of the African and African American Studies Department at Luther. Her lecture, Black Students and the Creation of Black Studies, is open to the public, and she is on the line with me now. Hello, Tiffany.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And I want to go back in time to the early 1980s. Give me an idea. What was the academic climate like then for African American Studies?
Well, I was actually there till 1986,
okay.
And the climate was tense, is the proper term for it. Tense because many institutions, at most institutions, African American studies as a separate academic endeavor came through protests for the most part, a student protest, and that's one of the things I will be talking about. Students must be credited with pushing and transforming academic institutions, beginning long before that, actually. But the important years were the 1960s, 70s, and early 80s. These programs were small. In most instances, they were not departments. They were simply programs. And at Luther, there were two of us in the department. Many academics, even to this day, do not respect the legitimacy of the field. And there's sort of a passive acceptance in many places of African-American studies. At other places, in the last 30, 40 years, full departments have emerged in many of the major universities, and many of the top schools in the country have departments, such as Harvard and University of Pennsylvania and many others.
So,
but
the,
In
the early 1980s, you were studying, you were focusing on this as an academic yourself. So you were really at the forefront of this movement. And then you come to Luther College, a very small Lutheran college in Iowa, not exactly a hotbed of diversity. And you describe the atmosphere as tense at institutions everywhere. What was it like coming to Luther for you?
Well, it was a decision I made out of tensions from my own university. I dropped out of my PhD program briefly after taking some of my doctoral exams, because it was not only African-American studies that was beginning to emerge at academic institutions, it was also women's studies. And a few graduate students at Minnesota, and I was one of them, pushed the women's studies program around issues of race. And the year had been a difficult one, and so I applied to Luther and took a break, so to speak. I had a lot of teaching experience already. And I got there, and I found myself, well, I can tell you when I drove up to the campus, I was shocked because there's a cornfield on the road before I got to the campus. And I said, oh, my God, I'm in a cornfield. And I got there, and on the positive side, there was an energetic group of African and African-American students there. The African students had come through the Lutheran Church and their missionary work in different parts of Africa, particularly South Africa, Southern Africa to be exact, Zimbabwe and Botswana and Namibia were represented in respectable numbers. But the thing that disappointed me is that a lot of the African American students seemed to have been recruited as an afterthought. And they came, many of them were on, some of them were on the football team. And one of the first problems that I saw was that these students certainly belong there and deserve the education they received, but they weren't part of the normal recruiting system, from what they told me. They came at sort of the last minute. Nevertheless, I became very active in teaching them, teaching all of the students who signed up for my classes. I would be dishonest if I said it was a paradise. It wasn't. I was a single black woman at a campus with one black woman professor and one black male professor. There were no African-American professors in any other departments at that time. So we were it, and there were two or three staff people in this environment. And Central Iowa, I don't remember seeing a lot of black people anywhere except at the airport in Des Moines.
Part of your work while you were in that position, you were working to add courses to this study. I'm curious, as you were really shaping this department, what was your hope for it?
Well, let me go back to the department I received my PhD in. At the University of Minnesota, several professors got together and developed a PhD-level area in the comparative history of African people. I joined that group very specifically because I wanted to study more than just the United States. And I had that incredible opportunity at Minnesota. There was a professor who was probably the top scholar on Southern Africa, especially Portuguese Africa. Another taught French West Africa. There a professor of Brazil in Latin America and other Latin Americanists, and then other departments had professors teaching in the same areas. And so I had a wonderful experience there. And what I wanted to do when I got to Luther was to translate what I had learned into courses at that college. In other words, I wanted to teach about more than the U.S. I wanted it to be grounded in African-American experience, but African-Americans are also a global people connected to Africa, to the Caribbean. And the students loved that because many of them were from outside the United States as well as in the United States. So I embarked upon creating courses that fit the same kind of program I came out of. Before I entered my PhD program, I was in a black studies department in at Southern Illinois as teaching while I finished my master's degree. And so I translated some of that to Luther as well. That part of my experience with Luther was wonderful. I love teaching, and I enjoyed the students, all of the students who came to my classes. And the convocation speakers, one of whom was James Baldwin, I still talk about, get joyous feelings about, because I had the chance to meet one of my favorite writers. Yeah. And someone who, even here at Vanderbilt, is required of all our majors, they have to study James Baldwin. And so I had some really incredible moments at Luther. But on a daily basis, it was a difficult environment to be in, alone, as a black young black woman.
This will be your first trip back to Luther since leaving back in 1986.
Yes.
Were you surprised to get this invitation?
Oh, yes, very much so. I told someone at your station, I said, I have enough spirituality to know that things don't happen by accident. It's that this would come at this moment of my life. I would get a call to be invited back, and the person that invited me discovered some documents in the Luther archives and pictures and gave me a call. And I'm delighted to come back at this moment. I am in a department at Vanderbilt University that just became a department this past fall, after being here in a very small and not always supported form for almost 50 years before we came. The department, the new chair of the department came here 15 years ago. I came 13 years ago. And then it's interesting to me that Luther is celebrating the 50th year of the founding of the Black Student Union. We're celebrating the 50th year of the Black Studies at Vanderbilt, which has now become a department after all that time. So I haven't quite figured out what it all means yet.
You mentioned this moment in time, which is a very interesting moment in time in our nation's history. And we're seeing so much racial division revealed in new ways in this country today, things that were there but maybe were unsaid or not advertised in the way that they've been advertised. What does this moment in time mean in your studies, in the world of academia?
It is an incredibly interesting moment, and I think the United States is having one of many reckonings with their racial past and present. And that's what it means, for one thing, that it's still a racial present. It is not something that has gone away. It's something that African Americans have consistently lived, along with all other people who have experienced racial discrimination. And here we are in this moment with incredible violence continuing in our communities, in Black communities, Latino communities, and more recently in the Jewish community. And many people are shocked, because one of the things that's happening in our educational system, we have decreased teaching American history in an honest way, and there's been an actual movement against telling the true story of American history. I know that Texas, for example, has attempted and probably has succeeded in outlawing the teaching of African American history in any honest way. They don't teach about slavery. They don't teach about Jim Crow and discrimination. At the universities, on the other hand, on the other side, that's exactly what we're doing. At my university, we have a department. We have majors. We have minors. And our students double major. A few major only in that, but we have many of them from our medicine, health, and society program, from sociology, from history, from English. They double major in both of these fields, and they're hungry for knowledge in that respect. And yet, in the society, we are still in denial mode. We have a governor today who is denying a horrible photograph and refusing to step down. And he wouldn't probably have to step down because most of us believe in redemption, racial redemption. However, he wants to deny. He wants to twist and turn instead of confronting it head on after all of these years. These incidents are bringing to the consciousness of the contemporary society how much work that still needs to be done around racial questions. We do our part I do my part at Vanderbilt. I teach a course on race, on racial matters. And it interests me how many students have become more and more hungry to understand what nobody tells them.
Students of all backgrounds?
Pardon me?
Students of all backgrounds?
Oh, yes. I also teach a course on slavery, and on this semester I'm teaching colonialism. And I remember 3 or 4 years ago, one of my white students from the East Coast, my students had to read a wonderful novel on slavery called Book of Night Women. The author teaches at McAllister College, and it's a hard book to read because he does a superb job. That's what literary studies are about, a superb job of bringing the reality of the lived experience of slavery. And she called me before class after reading, and she was so upset, and she just kept saying, "We have to talk about this book. Nobody told me. I went to a good school in Connecticut, and nobody told me." And so those are my best moments, because she was not only feeling that way, the Black students were feeling that way. And they came back to class, and it was one of my best classes, because it then becomes my job to know how to direct them to healing and directs them to a deeper understanding of the nature of the society and how these things could happen. So we are living in a really horrible moment, but in some ways, I'm a historian, so we have had many horrible moments. But these moments become a time of growth if we would confront it and really have those difficult conversations about the many sides of racial experience.
What do you think institutions in the United States need to be focused on right now? What are some of the greatest challenges in African-American studies today?
The prison system, the carceral state. When I was a student in Illinois working on my master's, that was back in the days when we had educational programs in universities that were close to prisons. And I had some of my early teaching experience at Marion Federal Penitentiary, which is not an easy place to teach in when you're in your 20s, okay? But I'm happy about that experience because there was an effort at rehabilitation. There was a moment in which we completely stopped our commitment to rehabilitation and instead turned to revenge. And so what do we have now? We have the largest prison population in the developed world and one of the cruelest. And we have a recidivism rate that is disgraceful. And so in African American studies, some of the work that's needed to write about the history of that is being done in African American studies. The book The New Jim Crow is one example of that. Kahil Muhammad's book, On Blackness is another example of that. So scholars in African-American history are taking up present questions as well as the histories of it, and they're doing it across many disciplinary perspectives.
Tiffany, we're out of time, but thank you so much for talking with me today.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been my pleasure.
And I hope that your trip back to Luther is a good one.
Well, I think it will be.
Thank you very much. Tiffany Patterson is an associate professor of African American and Diaspora Studies and History at Vanderbilt University. She'll be giving the Spring Convocation address on Thursday at Luther College. Her lecture is titled Black Students and the Creation of Black Studies, and her lecture is open to the public. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.